Praise. That's an amazing song. Don't know if you paid attention to the words, but those words are absolutely amazing. Just to see God's love for each and every one of us is so amazing. And honestly, this morning, and what I want to preach to you this morning, shows and testifies of God's amazing grace and his love to us today. I hope that you will leave here appreciative of all that God has done for us. We're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And so take your Bibles and go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I like John because John gives us a perspective that some of the other guys don't give us. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us different perspectives on who he is. John certainly focuses on the deity of Jesus Christ, and we see who he is. There's both. We have the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ that make everything complete. This morning we're going to look into that just a little bit. John chapter 1, and we're going to be in verse 1. But let me start off with just a little bit of an illustration to get the ball rolling, and I'll conclude the message, or close to the end, with some finishing touches on this illustration here. I want you to think about an educational school teacher, okay? And of course we know one of the things that makes learning is testing. We understand the principle from James chapter 1 that we learn through trial. We learn through difficulties going in life. We learn through, if I could say, testing, okay? When you think about the educational process, when we are tested, then that prompts us and propels us to learn, okay? I don't know about you. I know that there's some self-motivated people out there, but if you didn't have a test in school, how would you have done in school? Would you have learned? Would you have been self-motivated? Many of us probably would not have. We would have just said, I don't need to learn it because I'm not going to be tested over it, and so therefore I'll let it go. But we know that most likely we wouldn't learn very much if we weren't tested over it. And so the teacher puts us through a difficult regimen of pop quizzes and homework and study guides and all this so that in the end we get ready for a test. We take the test and hopefully it reveals that we have learned some things. Okay, now how would it be though for one of these teachers if every test that they gave always gave all of the answers? So they you know, they're teaching you, they're training you, you're learning, you're studying, you go all through, well, study or not studying, I don't know what you would do, but you go through that whole process, and then in the end, you sit down to take the test, the teacher passes out the test, you look at it and say, whoa. But after that, the teacher says, okay, here comes another sheet, and around comes, and every answer is on there. Every single answer. Number one, the answer is this. Number two, the answer is this. And you're thinking, that's great. I love tests like this. I love school. I love education. I love learning. I love growing. I'm so thankful. And all the kids love school. And the kids are excited about school, right? All of a sudden, kids love school. Can you imagine that kind of a teacher? And I ask you the question, does that make a good teacher? Now be careful in how you answer, okay? Because I'm setting you up a little bit. Does that make a good teacher? When I was in... long time ago, when I was in junior high, I had a class, and it was a health class. I don't remember what we learned in that class, okay? We were supposed to learn health. I don't know what we learned. Public school. Went to that class, and I remember a certain test. The teacher did not do it on every test, but he gave us a test, and it was going to be a huge test. In fact, it was a very intimidating test. It was over... I think we had a section over the body parts and all the stuff, and there's going to be a lot of information on that test. It was very fearing in all the students' eyes about this test. But the teacher told us something that changed everything for those who were willing to do something about it. The teacher gave us, I'm going to allow you to have a cheat sheet. But the cheat sheet is only, and I honestly cannot remember, but based on what I remember in preparing that cheat sheet, I would say that it was something like 2 inches by maybe 2 inches, 2 inches by 1 inch. I forget how big it was, but it wasn't very big. But they said, you can put anything you want to on that cheat sheet. Keep in mind, you will turn in the cheat sheet. At the end, you will put a paperclip, staple, pull it, whatever, like that. Your test, I want to see it, you know, when you get it, okay? Well, I had great vision for this cheat sheet. I thought, if they're going to give me opportunities, I'm going to pack as much as I can onto that cheat sheet, and I did. I went home, and you got to remember, I know that today with our modern technology, you can do a lot with font sizes and everything, but this was back in the dark ages. This was back when I was, you know, when I was in junior high, and you couldn't just do everything with fonts, but I went home, and I don't even remember what kind of, what would we have had back then? I guess we had a regular computer, I don't know. But again, I'm trying to really remember what I did it on. I did it on something. And I got on there and I found a way to shrink the font down so small that you could hardly read it, but I could. Okay, I didn't need these back then. And I put like zero margin. I mean the first letter was very tiniest little, and I packed the entire thing was ink, okay? And then on the back, flipped it over, and I found a way, it was on both sides, and I could read it. And basically, I had pretty much the entire test on that thing. And I remember I passed with flying colors, and I came out of there thinking, I am a good health student. Okay, now, I want you to keep that in mind. Well, don't keep it so much in mind. I want to go to our passage. And in the end, I'm going to bring this out again. But, you know, that was something that the teacher enabled us to do. And I remember stapling that thing. I was proud of it. I mean, I did everything. I didn't break any rules. I did everything that he allowed us to do on that thing. And I stapled it to it, handed in the test. And again, as far as I remember, I got a great, great grade on it. John chapter 1, verse 1 is where we're still at. And last week we began to look at this. In the beginning was the Word. And of course last week, the beginning is very foundational to who God is. And it's so important to how we face life. And folks, I want to tell you that when we understand who God is, and all that he has always been to us and all he ever will, when we think about the beginning, when we truly understand the beginning as our foundation, honestly, it will take away our fears. It should take away our fears because we recognize, wait a second, God has everything in control. He's got it all taken care of. And it's not just something that he does, he is. And so we looked at that in depth last week, and I hope that you received some good truth, and I hope that it even helped you this week as you think through your difficulties, as your fears, as your struggles. But I want to take it further as God takes it further. As I mentioned, I like John because John continues to paint a picture of who God is, and I believe really the goal of knowing who God is so that we can place our faith and trust in him for salvation. He is our Messiah. He is the one that has come to save us. God is the one that came to save us in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. All right, the Logos. And last week we described the Word as the most human way to depict something or someone that we cannot understand. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but the Word, this is putting this, and I don't like to think of God as a thought or an idea, but putting this very complex, for lack of a better term, idea, this person, on paper so that I can kind of try to understand who he is. Of course, very simply, we've got the Word of God, which is it's kind of a human element of God, of who he is. But more so, he gave us the Word in who? Jesus Christ, right? Who is John talking about here in John 1? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was who? Jesus. He's the Word. He's the Logos. He is the one that came to give us a view of who God is. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, okay? So let's look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, let's face it, the Word was with God, and even more so, the Word was God, okay? The Word was God. Jesus was God. This morning we're going to look at our Lord as God. our Lord as God. And my friend, I will tell you that this will be a blessing to you and help you as you go through life. We have nothing to fear. The first thing that we notice is the dilemma. If you're taking notes, it's alliterated. They all start with these. First, the dilemma. The dilemma. What's the dilemma? The dilemma is simply this. I began it last week. Well, it didn't begin last week, but I introduced it last week. The dilemma is the fact that God is God, Jesus was God, and I'm a man. Now, I want you to think about the differences, not so much with me, but think about the differences of humanity and deity. What are the differences? The dilemma is he is God. We are men. It is impossible then for us to be with him and to even comprehend who he is. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Why is it so impossible for us to comprehend God? Well, first of all, we know that God is what? We know that he is spirit. We have a body. And it's very difficult for us because we have been put into a certain mold. We've got flesh, we've got bones, we've got organs inside, we've got blood. It's impossible for us to understand what spirit is like. And I submit to you, we cannot really know who God is on our own. I can't know God because God doesn't make sense to me, does he, you? When I think of who his person, it doesn't make sense to me how there can be a spirit of someone. I don't get that because I'm confined to a body. And so I don't understand spirit. God he's not confined to a body, and God is not confined to time. We talked about time last week when we looked at in the beginning. God doesn't have time. He doesn't think in time. He doesn't dwell in time. He always was, he always is, and he always ever will be. And so for me, in time, I cannot comprehend what non-time looks like. I don't understand it. I don't understand what it means to be in spirit. I don't understand what it means to be out of time. I don't understand what it means to be immortal because I'm mortal. I don't understand what it means to be all of really what God is. I don't understand what it means to be who he is. I don't understand. You know, God is almighty, isn't he? God can do anything. I don't understand that. You see, God's not confined to anything. He is able to do anything. And none of us in this room, none of us can understand what it means to be able to do everything. Can you imagine if that was a capability of yours, to do anything you wanted? Probably dangerous. But we don't understand that. We don't understand God because he is able to do anything. We don't understand God because he's holy. You see, we're sinners. We've chosen to sin, and we understand the aspect of our sin, and we live in this realm of sin tempting us, influencing us, challenging us, making us feel guilty when we do it. And God doesn't have any comprehension of that in his own because he doesn't know sin. He can't understand sin. He is opposite of sin and therefore the opposite of death. And so we can understand God. Humanity, listen to this, humanity cannot understand God. And that leaves us kind of hopeless. It leaves us kind of helpless. How can I connect with God then? And religion has made an amazing effort to try to connect humanity with God. And that's the problem, is most religion has tried in their own humanity to try to bridge a gap between humanity and God. Well, God is this, so we must do this. We must act this way. We must... And human nature from the beginning of time has done everything they can to try to bridge that gap. But can I tell you? God knows, folks, God knows that there's not any way that we as humans can bridge the gap between us and himself. There's nothing in us that can bridge the gap. We cannot do it. We are incapable of approaching, understanding, being with him. We can't. God. There's nothing that we can do. Well, I don't like that as a human because that's telling me that I don't have the ability. I can't do anything. I cannot be with God. I cannot approach him. I can't understand him. I don't know him. And for all the reasons we just mentioned, I can't do it. So I want you to think through that dilemma. And it's a dilemma. God and me. And there's no way. There's no way for me to understand, to know, to be with him. There's no way. And folks, that is the truth. On our own, there's no way. But you see, God and his love for us, and with that there is no hope. It leaves us hopeless. It leaves us in a very critical situation or dilemma. No hope. But as I mentioned before we started the message, this is a message of hope. It is a message of God's amazing love and grace. You see, because God looked down upon humanity and he understands that we have ruined, by the way, and I didn't even mention, of course, we ruined the opportunity. He did create man to be with him. We ruined it with sin. Every one of us. We blame Adam and Eve, but the fact is that we have proven it in our own lives. We have carried and followed suit. So we can't go back and get upset at Adam and Eve because we have followed them, okay? We all had choices and we chose to follow. And so we can't point our finger back at them. It's our deal, okay? It's our deal. We have chosen to be sinners. And with that, we have chosen the fact that we are going to have a penalty for that sin, and that's eternal separation. And this is the dilemma that we find ourselves. I am eternally separated from God. I can't know him, I can't understand him, and I can't be with him. And that's where we find ourselves, except for God's amazing love. And so God recognizes that in each one of our lives and says, Sean's down there, and he is utterly hopeless. He's utterly helpless. There's nothing that he can do to come to me. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to make a way. I'm going to do something. I'm going to provide something so that he can. Because he can't. There's not a chance that he can. He will fail. As much as he tries, he will fail. Has man tried throughout the ages to approach and get to God? He's tried everything from tall towers to lots of works, to fancy churches, to all kinds of things that man could get himself to God, and yet mankind has failed and will always fail no matter what we try to do, no matter how technology and advanced, you know, comes and we get, we will never be able to find a way to just get to God without him. In other words, I cannot pass a test without him. It's impossible. So what has God given? Who has God given us? And again, these are some thoughts from last week. But who has God given us so that again, not to irreverence God, but to bring God down to my level? Because honestly, my level is so far off of God. I don't understand at all what it means to be almighty. I don't understand what it means to be holy. I don't understand what it means to be spirit. I don't understand what it means to not be confined to a body. I don't understand what it means to not be confined by time. I don't understand any of this. I don't have any ability to understand God. There's nothing that I can do to fly up and be on his level. So what God has done is he has found a way. He made a way to bring God down to our level. And that was who? Jesus Christ. You know this. I'm not telling you anything new. God brought Jesus Christ down to humanity so that he could be on our level. Folks, right there, that's enough for us to say amen. Right there, that's enough for us to come forward and be thankful that God gave me something down at my level. Have you ever talked to somebody that's not on your level? I didn't plan this morning because Nathan's here. We both have a brother-in-law that talks a little bit different on our and not on our level. Matt is really, if you know Matt Crepe, he's an engineer and he's smart. And Matt has an ability to think through things in his mind. I've got to see these things. I don't know about, maybe Nathan's on that level too. I don't, probably just me. But this is what happens. We get together at Christmas time or whatever like that, and we get talking, and I've got an idea about something, and Matt has answers. He usually has an answer. He'll think about it for an hour quietly in the side of the room, you know, just thinking, and then he'll open up and he'll be like, and he'll do everything. He won't draw me a picture. He won't take me out into the garage and show me. He'll just start talking. And Matt will say, you know what, you have this, and he uses terms that I don't understand. He'll say, you know, you've got this, and I'm kind of like this, and I'm thinking, I shouldn't be nodding this. I shouldn't be nodding like, no, I didn't get it. Say that again. And then he goes on to the next point, and he says this, and he looks at me like, you getting this? And I'm thinking, keep going. And then he goes on to the next, and he said, and then he asks you the question. He says, you following? And I'm thinking, how do I answer that? Matt, can you go back to point number one? What was that word? Oh, well, he knows immediately as soon as I ask that question that we're on different levels. And you know what Matt will do? He says, oh, I'm talking to Sean here. Okay, so he says, get out a piece of paper. He says, okay, let you see this. Got it. You see this. Got it. We need to do this. Ah, thank you. You see, what he did, he's on different levels than me. We don't think at the same level. I do not. Every time Matt starts to explain something to me, I think, here we go again. And it's not anything of him, it's me. I'm down here, he's up there. But see what Matt does when he puts on paper. See, I'm very visual. I can understand a lot of things if you just give me a picture or if you take me out to the garage and show me. Show me. And I probably am smarter than what you think, Matt, because I really do know a little bit, but when I'm with Matt, I'm dumb, so dumb. I just don't get it, and it's very simple. And why did I go to share that with you? Because, see, folks, we are on a different level with God. We cannot comprehend what God has for us. And so what God did in his mercy and his grace and his love, he allowed his very own son to come down to this earth so that it would put it on my level. So that it would put this idea of God, and I know he's not an idea, but in the human mind, I need something to be able to look at. And so he gave us Jesus Christ so that we could look at. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. So the first is the dilemma. The second is the designation, or we could say the declaration. The Word, Jesus Christ, was God. And in this, he is a clear human declaration of who God is. We look at Hebrews chapter 1 and we see who, referring to Jesus Christ, being the brightness of his, that's God the Father's, glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now notice, this is referring to Jesus Christ. God the Father understands that he's got to put himself on my level for me to be able to understand him, for me to be able to know him, for me to be able to come and be with him. He has got to put God, not irreverently, but to put God on my level. And what he did was he sent his son Jesus Christ. Now notice in Hebrews 1:3, he uses the word and the express image of his person. This word, the express image, that's the seen, if I could put it very simply, the seen, the felt, the heard, the smelled, or the human tangible expression of God. He put him down in the flesh. I don't understand spirit. I don't understand no confining of the body. I don't understand no time. And I only panic when I think of timelessness. But put God down at my level in a body that has pain, that is now under the constraints of time, the human body. Now I can start to relate. I can start to know. I can start to see. I can start to touch. I can start to smell. I can start to think and understand, because it's at my level. And that's exactly what God has done. He put himself in a very human form. John chapter 14 and verse 9 says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen who? The Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show me, or show us, the Father? So what God did was he gave himself in human form. He says, Sean doesn't understand me. I'm at different levels than Sean. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son Jesus Christ in the flesh. I'm going to send myself, he says, in the flesh. I'm going to confine myself to human restrictions. And I'm going to put myself down in a body just like Sean, so now that Sean can relate. So now that Sean can know me. So that now Sean can be with me. He can understand me. He can know who I am. And now I can relate with him, and he can relate with me. And now I can bring him to myself. And so God sent his son. He sent Jesus Christ to come and do that. Jesus is the human impossibility, the human possibility of seeing God. Jesus is God's gift to us that we can see him. For God so, what the world? For God so loved the world. The reason why he did is because he loves you. He wants you to understand. Now, I don't know if my teacher gave me that cheat sheet because he loved me. To tell you the truth, I don't know why. He probably needed to get scores up so that he could turn it into the administration, you know, because we were all failing or something. I don't know. And so he said, I got to get him to pass a test. Okay, so I'll give him a cheat sheet. I don't know that my teacher loved me that he gave me the cheat sheet, but I can tell you God loved me that he gave me Jesus. He gave me Jesus, and he gave you Jesus so that you can have a way. A way. Question really quickly, have you ever thanked God for Jesus? Have you ever taken time to thank God for Jesus? Have you ever taken time to stop and say, God, thank you for giving me something to follow? Now, what does he go on to say here in John chapter 1? He says, and the Word was God. Let's go ahead and read a few more verses here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he's given us the dilemma, he's given us the designation or the declaration of the Word. This is Jesus Christ. He put it on my level. And now he's going to go into, if I could say, he's going to make it even tighter. He's going to get closer to and make it more specific. Thirdly, we have the delineation. Who is he? And he tells us in the next few verses, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Here we go in verse 4. Two things here before we close. In him was first life. Life. And the life was the light of men. And this is where we're going to stop today. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So third, the delineation. In Jesus is life. Life is the animate expression of internal reality. You'll never find that definition in any dictionary because I made it up, okay? Let me say it again. The animate expression of internal reality. The active expression, the putting what the essence of something into into life. It's making, if I could say, it's bringing God to me. Does that make sense? I hope I don't want to lose any of you here. It's bringing God down to my level and putting in an expressive body, a life. The reality of Jesus Christ is who? God, right? Jesus Christ is God. That's the essence of who he is. He is, he was, he always will be God. He is God. That's what we read in John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The essence is there. Jesus, in a human flesh, is an expression of the inward reality. So we got this human, we got God in human flesh. And we, in theology, we call that the what? Incarnation, right? God in the flesh. So we have this incarnation. This is, and so we look at this life. Life is to shine out reality. It gives us, okay, so Matt's explaining things to me, and then he pulls out a picture. Does a picture help? Picture helps. A picture helps because now I can see a picture. Nathan, what's better than a picture? A video, right? Put it on video. And now I can see all kinds of aspects of it, right? Now it's not just in one time or one frame. Now I've got lots of frames, and now I see movement, and I see, and really what we're describing is what? Life. We're seeing life happen. You know, life isn't just a picture. Life is it's not just a video either, but a video is a picture of continued life. And we see it happening now. And we're seeing what? We're seeing with Jesus Christ the reality and the essence come out. Is that helpful for us as Christians to see the reality of God come out? Oh, it is. It is. It's so valuable for us to see it lived out. Don't just tell me. Don't just show me a picture, but give me a life. Give me something that I see. And when God gave us Jesus Christ, he gave us this expression of who he was, this person of who he was, so that I could see him. But folks, this word that's life here, in the Greek, the word is zoe, okay? This word here is more than life, but it's a life. It's life that not, it doesn't just totally focus on who we are as people, like physical life, but it goes beyond the physical life to the spiritual life. There's two words that are used for life in the scriptures, and it's bio and zoe. And bio is definitely focused on the human life, but this other is all of life, but it takes it to spiritual life. And so what he's saying is he's not saying that Jesus was, that God gave you a picture, God gave you a video, he gave you a commentary on who God is in essence, but then on top of it, he gave the provision to become, to regenerate you, to come and be on the same side. Not just to look at from a distance and say, you know, oh, okay, I don't understand God. I'm down here, he's up there. Oh, there's a picture, there's a video. Let's sit and watch. No, God gave the opportunity not to, you know, he shows the picture. Then he says, I've got something better. I'm showing the video. And then he gives us something better. He gives us commentary on it. But then there is the invitation to say, and you can have all of this also. You don't have to watch from a distance. You don't have to just look at me and just marvel at who I am. But you can have this also. And what he's saying here in John chapter 1 is he's saying, you know, this is the, I look down at you, Sean, and I say, boy, you're at a bad level here. Okay, so I'm going to give you my son, and I'm going to put him down at your level so that you can look at his example. You can follow. You can understand. You can, and it will be me down at your level so that you can understand me. But then he's also saying, but life is going to come. And it's not just life that was in Jesus. It's life that's going to come to you. I'm going to give you what you're seeing. And so that you can have that life. Wow, that is getting better. And as we see what God in his mercy and love has given to us, not only that, we can have it. And this life is the bridge that brings hope. That brings hope to all of us that are lost in our trespasses and sins. This life opposed to death. Jesus brings hope to us. Yes, hope, the possibility of life, the possibility of victory over defeat, the possibility of victory over fears and death, the possibility that we can live with him. What does John 14:6 say? And Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's saying, listen, my friend that's sitting out here today, I have come so that you can have life and life more abundantly. I have come so that not you just see who I am, but that you can see who God is, that you can join me and you can have the same life that I have. God's inviting us to come and be with him. And folks, when we were with him, we don't have to be afraid. He calls us to his side. And so we look forth. The destination. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. What's the point of light? Light. Light is kind of like the answer, the finish, the destination, if I could say. Light. Light to expose us to God. First of all, when God brings light, it exposes. What did the light do when it came to earth? Well, it exposed man of who he was. Light, Jesus Christ, shows me who I am. I don't like it. When the light shines, I see Sean, and that's no good. When the light shines, I see him, and that's so good. But can I put this together? When light comes, it gives us the answer how we can come back to him. It gives us a pathway so that you don't have to stay over there, Sean. You don't have to just look from a distance. You don't have to just look at me and worship. You don't have to look at me and just wonder and look at me and just praise. You can come and have this for yourself. And so he provides light to give me the answers so that everything that in life that dispel or that fears, that worries, that troubles, that struggles, that I can have complete salvation over it, deliverance over it. It's the way back to him. We read in several different passages, and later on we're going to get into the light of the world in John. We will get to it, and so we'll talk more about it. But notice in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 9 and verse 5, as long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. And then in chapter 12 and verse 46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Do you catch what he's saying here? He says, listen, you can have life and light as well. God came to me at my level so that he could bring me back to him. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. That's kind of backward. I want you to go back to my opening illustration about the teacher. Now, I asked you a question. Is it a good teacher? Is it a good teacher to give you a test and provide all of the answers? Now, I understand that on a human level, it's probably not the greatest teacher to be able to do that. But can I tell you something amazing? God gives us the test of life. And he absolutely knows that we are unable to pass it at all. He knows that we're not going to be able to answer any questions on our own. And so you know what he's provided? He's provided every single answer to the test in the person of Jesus Christ. And his name is the Word. He's given us every answer to it. He's given us a test, and the test is human life. And we look at human life and we say, oh, I've got health needs. I've got financial needs. I've got emotional needs. I've got social issues. I've got spiritual needs. And God says, Sean, you and me are on different levels. I love you. And I'm going to grace you. I'm going to gift you with my love. And I'm going to give you someone that will come down and identify with you, that will exemplify to you. I will give you someone that will care for you, that will cry for you, someone that will help you, someone that will meet every one of your... I'm going to provide someone for you, and he's going to demonstrate who I am. But then he also is going to become you. He's going to become sin so that you can then be reunited with me. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to give you all the answers. Just take the test. As we close, human life is difficult, friends. I know. But do you see that we have the answer sheet right by us, by our side? He's given us the answer. And that brings us to the last point. The last point of the message is simply the final conclusion, the dedication. The dedication for all of us, because, and this is the call for us. All that was good news. The last point has to do with us, and it's the dedication. If God has given us himself through a person on my level to exemplify, to help, to, and all the things that I've just shared with you, then what ought we to do with Jesus? Well, then we ought to study who he is. We ought to read who he was. We ought to live and follow who he was. We ought to know who he is. We ought to obey what he said. We ought to jump into the life of Jesus and understand it, because he is the one that brings us to God. He bridges the gap for us. And so the bottom line conclusion to all of this is, folks, we've got to spend our time getting to know who he is. One of the best ways that we can do that is to get into his word, the written word. We don't have the person in the flesh, Jesus Christ, but he's given us his written word right here, and that's to jump into it. And even very specifically, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and understand who Jesus was. To look at him face to face, and to see what he gives and what he provides, and to see how he responds and how he acts and what he says, and to understand who he is. And as we do, he provides life. Life, and life more abundantly. My question to you is how are you getting to know Jesus? Do you recognize what the Bible says this? What separates a believer from the rest of the world of religion is what he does with Jesus. There's a lot of religion out in the world today, but they don't recognize Jesus as God. What makes us different is that we recognize Jesus as God, and that is the world of difference in our lives. They don't have Jesus. We've got Jesus. The question is, what are you doing with Jesus? Father, I pray that you would help us to understand you, and as we get Jesus, it dispels the struggle, the fears, the worries. We get to know who you are. God, I thank you for giving us Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would be dedicated to endeavor to study and understand who Jesus was. Help us to know everything we can of that man that you gave on our level so that we could have the way, so that we could have life, so that we could have light. God, thank you for what you've given to us today. Lord, I thank you. Yes, you gave us a test, and the test is hard, but you gave us the answers. God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.